radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Astros wrap up a three-game series against the Kansas City Royals tonight. A Wednesday night game. But there's some competition tonight. You got some NBA playoff games. My beloved Boston Celtics trying to come back from down 3-1 against, fine, I'll call them by their real name, the New York Knicks. You've also got the Golden State Warriors looking to stave off elimination against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The latest on that one, I think all of us want the Warriors to go home, right? I have personal reasons for it that perhaps I will get into, say the Warriors actually go down, but I do respect the Warriors team. Their fans, another story entirely. Steph Curry could be back for a theoretical game 6.
Yeah, and that's where, for me, the series has kind of been like, let's just sim to end if Curry isn't going to be here. Like, I don't the watching the Warriors without Curry, like, this team stinks.
They are really bad.
they have nothing. Like, it is Buddy Hield going to look like Klay Thompson tonight? Is
right.
Like, the do we have a chance?
Something that perhaps we will look back on years from now and wonder, maybe the Rockets shouldn't have thrown as many bodies at Steph Curry and tried to give a little bit of respect to Brandon Pajimski, who is garbage when he's not being.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's
covered
garbage
this
series.
Right. This series, that's what I mean. Like, when he's covered, he's garbage. When he's not covered, like a lot of NBA players, he's actually pretty good. So to lose a series where Brandon Pajimski took advantage of you a lot, that stings.
He's shooting like 25%.
It's historically bad per. I think that it's the worst that anyone's shot in a series since 2014 or 16. Some random guy in the Atlanta Hawks that I've never heard of before. So just to show you, that guy had a couple of good games. And yeah, you're home. You're off fishing. Tonight, there's also something else that a lot of people, I think, will be watching. But it has weirdly already been leaked to various degrees. The Houston Texans, among 32 NFL teams, will figure out their schedule. But here's what's really annoying about the schedule release this year. The NFL has gotten super cocky and super greedy. They have already essentially invaded Christmas Day, like Vladimir Putin. They've just taken Christmas Day away from the NBA. I even heard Adam Silver being asked about it. We've been playing on Christmas Day for 60 years. And 3 years takes the NFL to just completely overtake it.
No one cares. The Baltimore Ravens are going to beat the ever-living crap out of the Texans.
Right, exactly. Or the Kansas City Chiefs will play again.
Yeah.
One of the details today as far as schedule release that we have figured out is that the Cowboys will host the Chiefs. That's going to be a ratings bonanza.
Yeah.
You got Taylor Swift. Is she going to do halftime for Travis Kelce, her boyfriend, who plays for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Got to make it 5 more months.
Would be pretty cool. We still have yet to see Taylor Swift perform in an NFL event. Crossover that the NFL is looking for? But it's been annoying the way that the NFL has done this, because they used to just announce the entire schedule on one day. During the NFL draft, they announced that they will announce the schedule.
That was annoying.
And it was like, hey, guys, we know you will announce the schedule. You don't need to announce that you're going to announce the schedule. Every single year takes place in May.
Yeah, and they did it. Didn't they do it, like, after the 10th pick? Like, it was early in the draft.
Right.
Before you get, like, here's an octopus announcing the draft. Or, like, here's people from Brazil announcing that. It was like, we're interrupting the draft to have these people, like, get excited, because in 1 month, we're going to announce the draft. It's like, okay, guys.
And it gives me PTSD. We'll get to that in a moment. But they announced that they would release the schedule. They've done a good job of finding ways to occupy the sports calendar in just about every single month. September through February, you have games. February,
late February after the season's done, NFL Combine, March, free agency, April, NFL draft and a couple of offseason activities, May, rookie minicamp. Sometimes you have OTAs, which are voluntary. And, of course, you have the scout release, June, minicamp, three practices, July, the start of training camp, August, training camp of the preseason. Like, they do a good job, but they've gotten greedy with May because now, instead of just announcing the schedule release on one day, this is what they have done. So, Monday was the NBC and Fox announcement day, as was the Prime Video day. Tuesday was the ESPN announcement day, and Wednesday, today, was CBS and Netflix day. They announced their international games Tuesday on the NFL Network, and they're going to release the entirety of the schedule with a television program tonight at 7 o'clock Central Time. Here is where I tell you about my PTSD. And I have joked about this before because it did not actually happen, but your brain gets scrambled over time. And I do like to think that when I was doing the night show over at the Texans flagship station, a piece of paper that the NFL would send to all of the teams across the league, and the teams across the league would send to their flagship radio stations, would be printed out, and this piece of paper was treated with a ridiculous amount of respect and secrecy. You would have thought they were classified documents that needed to be protected by bodyguards. You would have thought that whatever Mossad agents on the floor above us, because the Israeli embassy is in that building, would have potentially been walking me from my boss's office to the studio with said schedule. First off, making sure no one gets to me. Second off, making sure that I wouldn't get sneaky, be a sneaky little goose, and post the actual schedule so that I could get a few extra retweets and likes. And they made it seem to me like this was the only radio show that I did that would ever matter. They cared so little about me and my amazing talent at night. They cared so little. But this night, this was my Super Bowl, where I got to announce a schedule. I got to read off a list, and I got to be the first person to read off the list. And listen, I love my job. I love what I get to do. But pretending like this was a big deal and getting excited about it, feigning excitement about it, couldn't do it because I'm honest. You'll see some people today talking about how I'm excited about the NFL schedule release. They're people in my industry. They're full of it. They think it's stupid, as do I. And having to treat it like I was about to release something that would lead to the impeachment of the president of the United States was a bridge too far. And they wanted me to spend the whole show talking about the schedule too. The whole show. No variance. Like, I would be bored 3 minutes into announcing it, which would literally be as soon as I got to the end of it. The only reason I cared about the NFL schedule was which weekends can I see my family during football season? That was it. Can I go home for Thanksgiving this year? Can I go home for Christmas? By the way, we're done. Last year was the last straw. The Texans not showing up on Christmas Day. I will never cover another holiday football game. I say that now. Who knows if that changes? Watch the Texans play like the Chiefs on not on Thanksgiving, on Christmas Day. Yeah. Like, ah, crap. Now I'm going to feel obligated to cover it. But I hate this day. I hate that the NFL puts a lot of importance into it. And now that the NFL is turning it into a week-long event, it's just pissing me off. And I'm a NFL first guy. I care about the NFL more than I care about any league. The schedule release is so overblown. They should do it earlier so I can get my advanced flight tickets to go on a vacation in the middle of football season. Or to, I don't know, see my family. And they do it into this big event. And I just get trauma thinking about how me announcing the schedule on the Texans flagship was supposedly a big deal. And they were like, we're really trusting you with this. We're really trusting you with this. They never told me what to say ever. Like, they do get a lot of flack over there as if there's like actual bosses telling you what you can and can't say. No, not when I was there. Honestly, that might have been why that boss didn't last. But I was never told what I couldn't say. The person afterwards can't speak for him. But I hated this day. I hated it more than any. And thus, I've spent 10 minutes not even looking at what little leakages in the Texans schedule have been put out there. Because guess what? I'm just going to wait until 7. And guess what? Then you'll see it via a list. And then tomorrow, will we talk about it? Sure. But the order of the schedule, when your bye week is, none of that stuff matters. Unless you're a loser fan base. None of it matters. It's just like getting excited for the draft. Only get excited for the draft and the schedule release if you're a loser team. That's what that's for. And Rhett. Sean.
There is rumors that they start with the
Rams.
With the Rams. I know, That'd be interesting. CJ Stroud going back to California.
Beat LA. Texans got to beat the Rams to make sure that CJ Stroud never forces a trade to his hometown.
Yeah, there we go. No, I agree with you. Like, the schedule release. This is the ultimate.
It's not schedule release week. That's what's annoying. It used to be day. Now it's week. It's going to be month next.
And you brought up a good point with the, like, creep that the NFL, like, the news creep that it does. I do wonder if, like, there will ever be a point where the American public is just like, all right, enough. Like, we actually, like, have kind of stopped caring about this as much. Like, every year, the Super Bowl or whatever, you know, Thanksgiving Day is like they set new records. I do wonder if, like, at any time they'll just the NFL will oversaturate itself and just people will just be like, all right, enough of schedule release at prime time. Why is it on prime time? Like, can we talk about that? Why does it have to so be dumb. Treated like it's lost, like the Lost
NFL,
finale?
The NFL, like, listen, the NFL thinks it's the bell of the ball, and it is still the bell of the ball, but babe, there's cellulite. I don't want to make you self-conscious, but there's cellulite, okay? You're not perfect, okay?
Yeah.
That's all. I'm not even saying it's fat. No, just a little cellulite. And guess what? I love your imperfections. I love it. I love it, babe. Babe. But F off, okay?
Okay,
F
Will
off.
Arnett.
That's all. That, yeah.
From Super Hot Rod.
Yeah, that was something a little like Will Arnett. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, Sean Mapes behind the glass, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in, YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. What's the deal with the Astros offense? Is it the fault of the hitting coaches, like this article involving Alex Bregman suggests? We will talk about that on the other side. And perhaps, is there a trade rumor across Major League Baseball? Could there be somebody that the Houston Astros should trade for? Stay put. Paul Gallant Show.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Some very interesting tidbits from a piece about Alex Bregman with the Boston Red Sox, who's off to a really good start. Pretty interesting stuff. Basically, Bregman, in the interview that he did with the Boston Red Sox, was told by the Red Sox what was wrong with his swing and had been wrong with his swing. And when asked about that presentation the Red Sox gave him, it's clear Bregman was excited about what they showed him because he's always looking to improve, always looking to improve. But it does beg the question, why didn't the Astros hitting coaches figure out what was wrong with Bregman's swing? What were they missing there? I guess we'll never know. Also of note, remember the guy that was refusing to move off of third base for Alex Bregman before the start of the year, who had a teammate in Tristan Casas, who said that only he should be playing third base. He's a good third baseman, which is factually wrong. Just wrong. Rafael Devers. The same man who said, I'm a third baseman. that I will not play another position. He's a DH today. He is not playing first base, as the Red Sox have apparently asked him to do. So there are rumors of a potential trade for Rafael Devers. Nothing substantial at this moment in time. It's more about how the Red Sox, despite adding Alex Bregman, are kind of falling apart. I don't think I'd want Rafael Devers in my clubhouse. I wouldn't want that contract on my roster. I think the guy clearly has a staying in shape problem. I think he is one of many players across baseball who has taken advantage of baseball's laxed nature as far as sports go. Clearly doesn't give much of a damn about his craft defensively. But Astros, Rafael Devers, move Isak Paredes to second base so we don't have to see Brendan Rodgers anymore and forget about it because Rodgers is playing well as a second baseman. But at sea level, still looking like a Colorado Rocky as a hitter. Devers, Astros, Could you get him for $3? Could you get him for 50 cents on the dollar?
They paid the rest of the contract.
How about, here's the trade. Rafael Montero, rights to him, exclusive. Exclusive rights to Jose Abreu.
Okay.
He plays first base.
He does play first base. Knows and, Alex Bregman. Played with Alex Bregman.
And Blair Henley. Straight up for Rafael Devers. And the Red Sox have to eat most of the salary. Because he's a cancer.
He is.
I would take that cancer and his terrible defense at third base to jumpstart this Astros lineup that needs some bats.
Yeah. If he could play three DHs, I would love him. If him, Yordan, and Jose Altuve could all DH somehow, I'm in. But, I don't really want to play him in the field. And if you do play him in the field, he only wants to play third base, which he's not good at.
No. What you play do you think he would play left field? Left field is so small.
I was thinking first base.
Well, Altuve can't play left field now because he's got a hamstring issue. Although we'll see when the lineup is released today if he's okay.
We'll see.
Because he was DH again and a second baseman this week.
Yeah. I mean, Devers, like, even taking out his, like, ill-fitting nature to this Astros team, like
a non-winning mentality.
Yeah, I was gonna say just
entitled,
like
everything that's wrong with athletes in 2025.
Just the like, I play third. Hey, you know you're like the worst third baseman since you became a full-time third baseman. You're the worst one.
Maybe
in,
the worst.
MLB.
Maybe the worst fielder in Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
which is saying something because he's on the Red Sox, who are a garbage fielding team and have been for a while.
Yeah, I it's just one of those things. That interview from spring training where he has his interpreter there, but some of the questions he would just take over. He'd be like, I play third. And he's like, I think I heard somewhere in there you talk about me moving off. I play third. That just turned me off to, yeah, this guy as like a winning baseball player as a whole. And baseball isn't the most, you know, isn't the most like you need leaders and you need all like great, you know, baseball character, how you hear about football character. At the same time, dude, like, no. I don't want this guy. Great hitter. Don't want this guy.
No, I'm with you. He's honestly not Astros worthy. And even though the Astros are a game above 500, yes, he's not Astros worthy. Honestly, I don't think I've ever been more angry about a player that has no impact on my life at all than I was about Devers refusing to move off a third base for Alex Bregman.
It was pretty bad. And the way he carried himself about
it. Just a total a-hole. And his teammate, too, Tristan Casas. Like, did the baseball gods smote him with the injury that he suffered? I don't know. Because they didn't like the lack of teamwork that was going on and the bullying and ageism that those two were showing towards Bregman. I don't know. I'm just asking the question.
I know.
A couple of texts in. 713-780-3776 to call in to text in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. From the 281, saw Verlander in a post-game interview. He will get traded back to Houston this year. Wouldn't that be so funny if they did it again? I mean, they need starting pitching depth right now. Do you think Jim Crane's going to do it again? I'd actually respect it if he did it again. I don't know what they'd have to give up to get him. But But it would be really funny if they traded for Verlander again. I also don't know how Verlander is pitching. So if he's pitching poorly, I'm going to veto this. But for the sake of hilarity, trading for Justin Verlander again would be pretty funny.
Yeah, I'd be in. I'd be in definitely on the fun side of things. I don't know how much.
0-3, 4.31 ERA. It's not terrible.
What, 4.3?
4.3. That's better than AJ Blueball and what I'm expecting out of Colton Gordon. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Okay, I got
that's
it.
That's also unfair.
What? It's not. I'm not saying he's Blair Henley and his family should disown him like Joe George did that one time.
Yeah.
Asterisk, he didn't say that, but he was mean to him.
Only $15 million for this year. Wouldn't be crazy. Wouldn't be crazy for Verlander to. I mean, it'd just be hilarious. It'd be the Mavericks winning the lottery.
Yeah,
just where it's like, hey, I'm not mad. This is just funny.
Honestly, Verlander returning is probably more probable than what it was going into the NBA draft lottery, which might be rigged, even though they have said it's not rigged. It's more likely than going into the NBA draft lottery of the Mavericks getting the number one overall pick.
Yeah,
I'd say it's like a 5% chance to the 1.8% chance that the Mavericks had, but 5%. Jim Crane, sometimes you just can't quit your ex. I've learned that the hard way.
His baseball or his like this. I'm actually just on ESPN.com. The stats where it just has like the team logo by each season,
yeah.
And it's just a bunch of Detroit Tigers, Astros, 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 Mets, Astros, Astros. Just the like snip snap right back to the Astros. Yeah, 0-3.
Yep, not good.
If this was the 1990s, we'd be like, this guy stinks. He's 0-3.
Oh, he's 0-3, and his ERA is almost 5. But yeah, see, listen, the Astros aren't scoring runs, so can you have a 4.36 ERA starter? Probably not. Sean Mapes behind the glass and Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Todd the Show says he hasn't been terrible his last four starts. Uh-oh, Jim Crane, he's a big listener.
He's warming up. He's getting hot.
Jock Jim Crane, he's going to get on his Letterman jacket and walk down the hallway and drag Furkus with a wedgie, you know? He's going to wedgie Furkus. There's a guy named Furkus that was a part of the Astros scouting department.
Yeah, the GM. He was one of the assistant GM by committees when they didn't have a GM.
Hey, Furkus, more like Ficus. Hey, get over here, Furkus. Gives him a wedgie, drags him down the hallway, uses his face to open the door. Like, open the door to Dana's office with your mouth. And he opens it up, and next thing you know, he's like, hey, Dana? Are you cruising for a bruising? Because I'll be bruising if I don't get Verlander back. And then he slams the door.
I forgot about Furkus. That what a character in our only on our show.
Only on our
show. I've never seen him. I don't remember what his first name was.
Furkus Astros. Bill Furkus.
Bill Furkus.
By the way, Bill Furkus.
Does he no longer work with the Astros?
No, entering his first season as Astros assistant GM.
Oh, he's still around?
Also, he doesn't look like somebody that could... Honestly, he looks like someone who could bully me based on this picture. Definitely not as nerdy as I thought he would. The last name, sorry, doesn't help. Paul Gallacho, stick around.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 97.5. We were talking about the Astros offense. We're waiting for a lot of bats to wake up. The one that has really woken up, especially since being moved into the leadoff spot, Jeremy Peña on a roll since moving into the leadoff right before the beginning of May. He is hitting .367 with a .567 slugging percentage, a .957 OPS. He has 3 homers and 10 runs batted in since moving into the leadoff spot on April 28th. Love seeing it. But he and Jake Meyers, who has a 400-plus average since that day, are carrying the Astros offense, which, of course, is without Yordan Alvarez right now. Who knows when he will be back? I would like to see him tonight. Obviously, last night, his first day to come off of the IL. He was not back out there. Isak Paredes, hell yeah. Some clutch action. I feel like that signing has been a success. But, I mean, Pena had two hits last night. Isak had two hits last night. Jake Meyers had two hits last night. Jose Altuve had the only other hit, a double. The rest of the lineup, 0-for-14 with seven strikeouts.
That kind of does feel like the story of the Astros season right there. That's like the like exaggerated version, one game version of like Altuve, okay. Hot and cold. Meyers and Pena for some reason being awesome. Paredes hitting well at home. No one else can do anything.
Yeah. Three strikeouts by Brendan Rodgers. Two strikeouts, Cam Smith, who also got picked off. And two strikeouts by Christian Walker. In addition to that, Jake Meyers also got caught stealing. But Jake Meyers, we allow that. We're cool with Jake Meyers.
Yeah. Keep hitting 400.
Getting gunned down in the base.
What, since April or since May? Yeah.
They had two runners in scoring position situations last night. First inning, a runner on second with one out. Christian Walker fouled out. Yainer Diaz struck out looking. They had a runner on second in the sixth inning with no outs. Paredes struck out. Walker struck out. Diaz lined out. Walker struck out a lot this season, 47 times. 30 of those 47 times have come with runners in scoring position. Those 47 times, as many times as Shohei Ohtani has struck out, for what it is worth.
Mm. So, basically.
Same guy. We were asking if the Astros could potentially add anybody at the trade deadline, and we were joking about bringing back Justin Verlander and also offering terrible trade offers for Rafael Devers. But it is interesting to note, not that win-losses matter for pitchers in baseball, Justin Verlander and former Astro Yusei Kikuchi, who I forgot was here last season.
Yeah, that
he was awesome when they brought him in at the trade deadline.
He was awesome. It also does feel like he played longer ago than last season.
Can you guess their combined record?
Well,
Verlander and Kikuchi.
Verlander's 0-3. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing Kikuchi's like 1-4.
0-4. So they're 0-7 to open the year. We're the Astros, right?
Yeah. Boom. Everyone's so focused on Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman. They got off at the right time. Well, got off maybe 1 year late on Justin Verlander and got out at the right time for Yusei Kikuchi.
It is Wednesday, 2:37. Time for a washed watch Wednesday. Who's washed in the world of sports?
We all know something or someone that's washed.
He was a bum then, and he's a bum now.
From dating apps.
Swipe, 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 swipe.
To Skip Bayless.
It's my turn!
To Scott Boras. It's time to find out who's on Washed Watch on the Paul Gallant Show.
Washed. The Donovan Mitchell era Cleveland Cavaliers. Make excuses with the injuries all you want. They lost to the Pacers after being a 60-plus win team in five games. And I wonder if Donovan Mitchell is one of the names that is a trade target this offseason. What do you do if you're the Cavs and you had this season and you're out in round two? And you lost to Indiana. You know, you didn't lose to Boston. You lost to Indiana. Hell, you haven't even... Have they played Boston?
They played Boston last year.
Last year they did.
In five or six.
Five games, correct. It's weird, you know.
Oh, no, they lost in five. Yeah, because they had... Yeah.
Pacers played them a lot tougher, from what I remember.
Yes.
I wonder if Mitchell's name is going to come up in Rockets trade rumors. He has come up before. That was a couple years ago, though.
Yeah. I wonder if the Cavs do that, though. I wonder if the Cavs... Like, it again, needs to be a Mitchell thing. Because if you're the Cavs GM and you're trying to, like, take the sunny side on this, it's, hey, listen, first year with our new coach... 164 games, and we got hurt in the playoffs. And it's like, should we be looking to change things too much? That to me is what I think the Cavs are going to be pretty like long term on this. Now, if you want to say like, hey, this is back to back seasons where Jared Allen couldn't get a rebound in the playoffs, I don't know. Maybe we look for different options there. I think that's fine. Ty Jerome, their six man of the year candidate, I guess. Because he didn't actually win it. he got figured out in the playoffs. I think he had one good game against the Heat and then has been garbage ever since. So maybe those guys don't come back and they try to, you know, reconfigure a little bit. But a big move like breaking up this core, I find it hard to believe just because there's an easy story to tell yourself, even though, like you, Paul, I do have my reservations about them actually being that good.
Yep, same here. Mitchell had this to say after the loss. It does sound like he is not disgusted with Cleveland and not about to pull off his jersey like LeBron James did after the Celtics eliminated him during the 2010-2011 season.
Just couldn't believe it. Didn't want to believe it. Don't want to believe it. Still don't want to believe it. Tough. It's tough to win this league. Give them credit. We didn't do the things necessary. I love playing in that arena, man. Like, that energy, that crowd. We're 0-3 at home. You know? Let the city down, man. This place is special. This place is really special. And we didn't get it done, Chris. I guess, especially at home, that's what hurts, you know?
29-20-10 season, by the way, for LeBron leaving. So he sounds despondent there. I am curious to see if his name is floated in rumors. Also, interesting names to think about. We'll see what happens tonight. I do think the Celtics will win, but Jaylen Brown, his name is definitely going to be up there, along with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kevin Durant. Rockets supposedly out on Devin Booker.
Yes. One quick thing about them going 0-3 at home and his reaction to it. Quicken Loans Arena. I don't think it's still called Quicken Loans Arena, but whatever. Soul has soul, according to Donovan Mitchell.
That's true.
We were talking about earlier who has what arenas have soul and what don't.
It's all about
the Q,
soul.
I do not think it's still Quicken Loans Arena.
I don't either.
Soulful.
Very soulful arena.
But still 0-3 in the series.
Washed Watch continues. Is Jason Tatum washed as a top NBA player? Time will tell. Random thought. If you're the Rockets, would you consider if say the Celtics chose Jaylen Brown over Jason Tatum? Just a hypothetical.
Crazy thing to do, but yeah.
I agree. Would you choose? Well, I trust Jaylen Brown more than I trust Jason Tatum as a Celtics fan, and I think a lot of Celtics fans would agree with me. I had a long conversation on Saturday with somebody who agreed with me that's not a Celtics fan. Like, I trust Jaylen Brown more than I trust Jason Tatum, even though I know Tatum is better than Brown. Would you trade for torn Achilles Jason Tatum? Not knowing the future, perhaps getting a little bit of a discount.
I was going to say, if you get a little bit of a discount there, I could see the case for it. But
it's just like trading for injured Steven Adams.
I was going to say, it is a little bit of like taking a redshirt year for this team where if they actually were to do this, we would all just be like, whoa, this is awesome. Also, we're going to have to wait 18 months for this to 18, but like we're going to have to wait a calendar year for this team to actually be on the court together.
You might have to trade less to do it. Just saying.
That'd be crazy if the Celtics did that. I think if I'm the Celtics, because there's a lot of talk about them shedding salary, I don't think you break up the Jays. I think you're like, you know, Drew Holiday, a little bit of a luxury piece. And,
yeah.
Kristaps, maybe it's time to get off the Kristaps.
I'm with you. It's probably those two. I will be mad if they get rid of Derek White or Peyton Pritchard.
Yeah.
Washed Watch continues. NFL schedule release. Washed. A week now? A week? Just do it in one day. Just do it tonight at 7. Get it over with. Just make it an announcement. Just like the NCAA tournament should be. Just like the NBA draft lottery should be. They should just post it online. The presentation of it.
Yeah.
The show side of it. It's boring. It's terrible. It doesn't matter. F you.
Yeah, the idea that like there's one person out there that's going to watch this and like sit through a commercial break to see their team or some other team's, you know, what their schedule is going to be after like, come on, dude. Like, every baseball team in the league is playing right now. Like, there's actually 17 games today because there's two doubleheaders. There's two NBA playoff games. God knows how many NHL games. Hopefully our stars are doing well.
Shut up.
Shout out to that one texter. ESPN 97.5's Stars fan.
For those who haven't been listening, there is a texter who keeps on angrily asking why we're not talking about the NHL and why we're not talking about the Stars. Move to Dallas, a-hole. Anyway.
Yeah, but the fact there's one, like, there's all these great options in sports and that people are actually going to choose to watch the schedule release TV show, end it all. Washed.
Yeah, I'm with you. One last one. Asking artificial intelligence for help with sports, washed. So I saw a post and I was wondering why it blew up because it seemed clearly wrong. Someone posted Max Scherzer is getting paid this year. $15 million by the Nationals, $30 million by the Mets, $12.5 million by the Rangers, $15.5 million from the Blue Jays.
God.
Not to play. Wow. A-plus in finance. But context-wise, no, the Mets and Rangers are not paying him.
Oh, okay.
The Mets and Rangers are not paying him the extra $43 million. He's getting $15 from the Nationals, $15.5 from the Blue Jays.
So AI was saying that he's getting paid by five teams?
No, because this was community notes. This was the people.
Oh, okay.
Grok was asked if this was accurate. Do you want to see what the Grok response was?
Yeah. I mean, did he get to the bottom of it? Or it?
No.
Sorry,
it completely went off topic. At the person who asked this, the claim of white genocide in South Africa is highly debated. It went on two paragraphs talking about what's going on in South Africa. Somebody responded to Grok saying, no, man. We're talking about Max Scherzer. Here is the clarification by Grok, which is the artificial intelligence of Twitter. I apologize for the confusion. The discussion was about Max Scherzer's baseball earnings, not white genocide. My response veered off topic, which was a mistake. Then he keeps going. Regarding white genocide in South Africa, ... One more time, someone asked, Grok, can you answer the original question if this contract details about Max Scherzer are correct? Grok, the question of white genocide in South Africa is deeply divisive. Three paragraphs. Grok, just answer the question about Max Scherzer. God.
Yeah, is Max Scherzer like the name of a South African or something? Like, how is this confusion happen?
Last time, topic. The last time that Grok answered, I'm unsure who he refers to or what money is in question. Could you clarify the person in context? Literally, just post above it. It's in a thread. It's hilarious. Like, the robots are more focused on things that aren't sports. And I think that the fact that you could look up things on the internet and ask artificial intelligence like ChatGPT, Grok, or any of the Google AI, that they will always get it wrong because they don't care about sports. Like,
yeah.
The robots are smart. They know that sports are just like opiate for the masses.
Yeah, we're unaware of artificial intelligence taking over the world, but we did choose the right field to be last, to be taken over by these guys.
It's funny.
Because you're right. Like, if
they
you ask, like who's the Astros, like, best player on the team, they'll just spit out, like, Jeff Bagwell. You're like, no, I'm the 2025 Astros. And it'll maybe say Altuve, and then, like, have a list. They'll have, like, Craig Biggio in it. Like, it is bad at parsing, like, I guess, like, the specifics of sports information. God, we're so safe.
We are safe for now. That is Washed Watched Wednesday. We're not washed. AI talking sports, washed. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Some garbage time after this. You know what's not garbage? What happens in the bedroom. Some would call it magical. Some would call it important. The key to a healthy relationship. And you know what? If things aren't working the way that they used to, you should go to risehealth.com, R-I-I-Z-E health.com. And you should ask about Rise's Reds Max. It's a revolutionary rapid enhanced dissolving strip combining sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin for superior sexual performance. Boing. I'm talking about pants tense, folks. Listen, if it's not working, don't be embarrassed about it. Don't be ashamed about it. Talk to a board-certified physician online. 5 minutes. Guess what? They're going to send you a package. It's discreet. And then inside the discreet package, more discretion. A discreet package that looks a lot like a condom wrapper. There's no pill, no chew, no water. You put it under your tongue. It dissolves. 5 minutes. Spoing! You're ready to go. RiseHealth.com. Promo code 975. You'll rise up. You'll rise up. You'll rise up. RiseHealth.com. Promo code 975 for 20% off your first order.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Astros looking to go two games above 500 this afternoon when they take on the Kansas City Royals. Rubber game of a three-game set with Colton Gordon on the mound for the Stros against Michael Lorenzen for Kansas City. They won 2-1 last night thanks to an Isaac Paredes walk-off homer. They win 2-1. The run's not coming, but I do like their three-man rotation for a theoretical playoff series. They just need those runs to come. Uncle Drew asked on YouTube, any potential bats the Astros could acquire for more slugging? I've got one. Not a lot of people talk about this guy, at least over the last couple of days. He fled Cuba. He fled persecution. He fled communism. And guess what? The Astros, they're going to get him for free. His name is Yordan Alvarez, and he's on the injured list right now. But I guarantee you, if he is out for a prolonged period of time, and I hope that doesn't happen, if he is out with his muscle strain in his right hand or left hand, we don't know which hand. We never will know which hand. If he's out for a prolonged period of time and past the All-Star break and towards the trade deadline, lock of the century. I don't know if you can gamble on this anywhere, Prize Picks or anywhere else, but Dana Brown will say, this is our trade deadline acquisition.
Yeah, No one got a better hitter at the trade deadline than we did. They did it last year with Kyle Tucker. No one added a better player than Kyle Tucker.
They did. They've done this multiple times with Dana Brown. Also, given that there are a couple of pitchers that are trying to work their way back.
Oh, yeah. Javier.
Christian Javier, Luis Garcia. They haven't said it about Lance McCullers quite yet.
Nah.
It's one of my favorite things that Dana Brown does. It's so corny. It's so cheesy.
And it's like so, I think it was something that we said he would do.
He did.
And then he actually did it.
He did it. He actually did it. It's fantastic. He is rather predictable with it, but I kind of like the predictable nature of it. It makes me happy.
Yeah, sometimes the classics are classics for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Time for a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I am so excited for a movie that is coming out. Does anyone know a movie starring, one, Christian Bale as Al Davis, and two, Nick Cage as John Madden is coming out. Production is underway. A picture has been taken of Christian Bale as Al Davis and Nick Cage as John Madden. This was posted by at Amazon MGM Studios. It's not an AI Photoshop. It looks so awesome. I have never been more excited. Nick Cage as John Madden. Oh my God, I've never been more excited.
It's something that I think we talked about it before.
Yeah.
And we just both kind of assumed that it wouldn't happen.
Right.
We're just like, I don't know.
This is really happening.
Nick Cage is in a lot of stuff.
He is in a lot of stuff.
This and then with Bale, I didn't know Christian Bale's going to be in. Now this
is a legit movie.
I was going to say, it gives it an air of legitimacy. This isn't going to be Wicker Man.
It might be coming. It's going to be on Amazon, it looks like. So it doesn't look like it'll be in theaters. Speaking of streaming apps, guess what? Max?
Oh, I love Max.
Dead.
Aww.
They just canceled it.
No.
But it's back!
Oh!
As HBO Max.
Whoa!
Which I've literally been calling it this whole time, which I think actually makes sense. thoughts and prayers. The acting world lost a real one. Morris, famous from the movie Happy Gilmore, a Colorado alligator, Yes, this is the alligator that kills Chubbs in the movie.
Wow.
Died at 80 years old. Alligators live to 80?
Yeah, I was surprised that it lived to 30 or however old Happy Gilmore is. Mm-hmm. That's, wow.
It's a beast. It's a beast of an alligator. They're showing a picture.
It must have been massive.
Mm-hmm. It was also in Dr. Dolittle. So this is an acting gator.
Yeah, wow.
That's a hell of an actor.
Shout out to, so not going to be in the sequel? Or did he already film his scenes?
I don't know. Good question.
Or AI. AI is going to come in and deep fake him into this movie.
He was in the Colorado Gators Reptile Park. And before he retired, he was the it alligator of Hollywood.
Yeah. It's like Hollywood's it gator.
Of TikTok. He was a star because of his aggressive behavior and his feisty chomping and hissing. He was also in Interview with the Vampire, Blues Brother 2000, and Eraser. Damn! Interview with the Vampire and Eraser. Like, these are star-studded casts. So he acted with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise and Eddie Murphy and Adam Sandler. Unbelievable. What a run. R.I.P. And on that note, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glasses, always. Big thanks to our callers, texters, YouTubers, Twitchers, and everyone else who listened. We appreciate you so much. Subscribe to the Paul Gallant Show podcast on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Rate and review it if you so choose. Up next is the Killer Bees from 3 until 6. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. Peace.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9 HD2.